You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today on the Cool Games, we are talking about the UEFA Champions League. It has returned. It is exciting. We're also talking about some transfer rumors. Jadon Sancho, is he leaving Borussia Dortmund? Who knows? And where is Blaise Matuidi going next?
That's what everybody wants to know. Plus, we got Travis Helwig, head writer for Crooked Media and a huge LAFC fan. That and more today on the
Cool Games!
What's up, guys? Landon Donovan here, and I got to kick it with the Cooligans today. Keep following, keep listening, keep watching. See you guys soon.
Yeah, baby!
Yes!
We doing a beat?
Okay, this is the merengue hour with the Cooligans.
Was good. It's like Sábado Gigante when out of nowhere music just starts playing. And that's it. People are dancing now. Afuera!
Yeah, dude, that's what we're bringing that that Sábado Gigante energy to Fubo. This is a reboot. Anyway.
What's up? That's Don and I'm Francisco.
Hello everybody, welcome to the Cooligans. My name is Christian Polanco.
And I'm Alexis Guerreros.
All right, and we are your favorite stand-up comedians that host the funniest soccer show on television.
That's right, and it also happens to be the gulliest.
Okay, all right.
Get it.
People, we got to keep reminding people every day. We're excited about today's show. It's going to be a lot of fun. We are going to be joined by Travis Helwig, who is he's a head writer, of Crooked Media. Crooked Media, obviously.
What a name.
Great. You know what? Right up our alley, okay?
Yeah. What should we do? Allegedly.
Okay, this show should be held in like a dark basement, to be honest.
I'm not saying that this is what you should do, but I heard.
Crooked Media, obviously, producers for a bunch of great podcasts like Pod Save America.
Pod Save the World. There's a bunch of them. They're great.
A bunch of them, yes. We're excited to have him on today. He's also a big soccer fan as well. So,
huge LAFC fan, yeah.
Correct. So a lot to go over today. Obviously, in world football, in American football, in NCAA football, which might be canceled.
Everything NCAA is canceled.
Okay. A lot going on. Obviously, I think the biggest news that we have to address is what's going on in Italy, in Juventus. Coach, Maurizio Sarri, I don't even know if I'm saying that correctly. How Italians say it? It feels
do
right.
Do this with your hand. You know, put all your fingers together.
Because I see two R's, I want to go Sarri. But yeah. It might not be that. I don't think it's that.
It might be pronounced sorry, to be completely honest with you. Because how do you go from winning the league?
Yeah.
Like a week ago. To them being like, you're no longer a part of our plans, my guy, you gotta go.
Literally, he is popping champagne. He is like, I'm drinking it all.
It's still dripping from the ceiling of the locker room. Like, it hasn't even dried. And my dude got fired.
Yeah, they're like, oh, you know what? Like, here's a towel. Get out.
Yeah, right? the same moment he receives his bonus for winning the league, they also hand it to him wrapped in a pink slip. How'd that happen?
Okay, don't spend it all in one place, but I know you ain't spending it here, okay?
This is one of the most remarkable seasons we've ever had. We can't wait to get rid of you. Goodbye.
No, this is so crazy. Maurizio Sarri sacked, let go. Fired from Juve after a loss in the Champions League to Lyon.
Champions League just started and they already here. They got bodies.
But who replaces Maurizio Sarri?
Oh, I don't know. He's been coaching the U23 team at Juventus for 7 minutes, ladies and gentlemen. Legend. And no idea what's happening because he has the best poker face of all time. Andrea Pirlo is now the manager of the first team of Juventus.
I mean, the upward mobility at Juve is incredible because he went from so he was announced the coach for the I believe the U23 it was like Juve B
the Juve U23 team like days ago
literally it must have been 8-9 days ago
it might have been after Saudi won the league it might have been after that
so he was just like you know he got the job he was like congratulations shook his hand and been like you're gonna enjoy my job very very soon maybe a lot sooner than you would even expect.
Yeah, he's like, why are you measuring my office? No. You're the U23 man.
That's a different building.
You got to stop measuring, my dude.
I feel like you're really not listening to me and really not taking, my feelings into consideration.
Also, I remember there being a photo of my family in this frame. Why is it yours all of a sudden?
Look, I love your twins. They are adorable, but I really don't think they belong on my desk.
Also, shouts to whoever painted your vineyard on my wall. But this is just should not be happening.
So pretty surreal. What do we expect from Andrea Pirlo as a manager at Juve? I mean, literally, the biggest club in Italy. They've won the Scudetto, I think it's 8 times in a row, 9 times in a row, something like that.
He's not going to stand up. He is going to sit down, legs crossed at the knees. And he's not. I can't picture him getting mad.
He's gonna be coaching via FaceTime while drinking wine because I don't know.
Why? Wait a minute. Why is the next Juventus game postponed? Oh, coach wanted to go on vacation.
Look, Pirlo is the maestro. We know that, but
a legend.
A legend, right? A great player, visionary on the pitch, but. Will that necessarily translate? Because he's not even getting to, like, he's not even taking baby steps, right? He's going from just got his license, like, last year to coaching, his old club, a huge club. We all, we understand that.
But I'm sure he loves the club.
Does he have the man management skills to manage these superstars, to manage the Cristiano Ronaldos and these other superstars? It's not easy to do that.
Ronaldo's gone. Supposedly he's going to PSG. But I mean, what are you going to say to Pirlo? You know what I mean? The guy's a living legend, won the World Cup. What are you going to say to him? You know what I mean? I just don't know that's like taking your best regular at a bar and making him the manager. there's no guarantee that just because they drank real well means they know how to manage.
Steve, file this paperwork. I don't even understand. These tax documents are piling up. Figure it out.
He's like, yo, I don't even talk to my kids. You want me to manage this place?
So it's going to be, honestly, I don't think it's going to go well. I don't know what the faith they have. We've met Andrea Pirlo a few times and a great player, a legend, but not really a guy who will yell at people or scream, or he doesn't really seem like he has that kind of that personality per se.
He doesn't show any emotion. I mean, he's you know, it's almost like the joke is real.
It's like me coaching out there, okay? You know?
Yeah, you don't have that button. And granted, my only gear goes to angry. I get it. But still, at least there is the gear.
Yeah,
Christian and him are stuck in neutral.
Okay. You know what? I don't tell people what I want them to do because they know what they should be doing. You know? They know what they did wrong.
Great manager, baby. You know when you're getting fired.
We are back, and I wanted to give a quick shout out to the Bronx Football Social Club. Look at
this. Very nice. It's beautiful.
Yes, it's sponsored by Yankee Tavern. You know, the spot we, you know, pre-game or post-game after an NYCFC game. And this is yours, Alexis. I have yours.
I see my name on it. I wish I could reach over and grab it, but I cannot.
I so badly want to give it to you, but no. It is being held hostage here. But thank you again for BXFC for the shirt.
BXFSC.
BXFSC. That's right.
Yeah. which is a penny stock I once bought. You know.
Let's talk about Champions League.
Champions League, baby.
UEFA Champions League, okay? Because not CONCACAF Champions League, which is the MLS is back. The winner of the MLS is back tournament. Which is obviously a much more prized possession.
Why would we talk about such a high-end competition when we could talk about the lowly UEFA Champions League?
Correct. Doing them a favor, all right?
They need the promotion. So managers are getting fired out here.
Full disclosure, we're taping this a few days in advance, so we don't know the results of the quarterfinal matches, but we should at least discuss the fact that the quarterfinal matches themselves...
game elimination.
Single game. These are not home and away matches, so it was just single game. So now this really changes the dynamic. It feels much more like a World Cup in those knockout rounds. And now it really is like anything could happen. Over two legs, you know, it's usually the better team wins. But in these scenarios, like obviously playing against, you know, whatever, Barcelona or Bayern or whatever.
Bayern looking crazy this year.
I mean, you can just, you know, park the bus, you know, and just try to hopefully get one or maybe win in penalties or something like that.
Dude, I mean, this is why you do home and a leg and away, right? To encourage people to want to score goals. Everyone's excited over the single game elimination. I don't know, man. I think it's going to make some of these, they're going to look a lot like the championship playoffs. You know what I mean?
It's going to be.
Nah, fam, you try to score. I'm blocking the goal.
I think it's going to be wild. So the quarterfinal matches themselves, again, we don't know the results or whatever, but Atalanta, PSG, RB Leipzig, Atletico Madrid, Barcelona, Barcelona-Bayern, as you're watching this, I'm telling future me, whoa, wasn't that crazy? That
you wow, know? Or past, I can't believe past. Blank happened.
Anything can happen in those games, and then Manchester City and Lyon. But who do you think wins the whole thing out of these participants?
I want to say, look, I think the easy answer is Barca, just because they look unstoppable.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I could say Lyon, just to really throw a wrench in the whole thing. And they might. I would love to say Bayern, right? Because they played so strongly against Chelsea, you know? I can't believe Lampard kept his job. If Sarri gets fired for Lyon, Lampard at least got to get a bow. You know what I mean?
I think Chelsea fired Sarri again after that.
After that loss. They actually just ripped the cigarettes out of Sarri's hand.
And they stuck a patch on his arm. They're like, now you gotta stop.
He's smoking the patch as he leaves the building. Kid's got a problem with these things. I want to say anybody but Barca, but it's hard to. And Barca don't even look that great.
Yeah, I don't think. Honestly, my two guesses, I think it's going to be Manchester City or Bayern. I think Bayern.
You think Bayern over Barca?
Yes, because Bayern has looked better since the restart than Barcelona has. But Bayern have been...
People already know what happened. We look like either idiots or you look like a genius.
But that's my guess is one of those two. I think Bayern or Manchester City. I think this is their shot, because if it was two legs, I wouldn't favor either of them. But Manchester City should get past Lyon.
Yeah, Manchester City looks incredible as well.
I think they could take the whole thing. I do. I really, really do. It is.
I could see that for sure. It seems like they were like, fine, we're not going to win the league. Let's figure some of this stuff out. Let's figure out positioning. Let's figure out, like, let's work on our system a little more. And let's really go for it in Champions League. And they bodied Real Madrid.
Yeah, they look really sharp overall. The one thing we didn't get we mentioned Sarri and Juve, but we should talk about this. The Blaise Matuidi, who plays for Juve,
favorite name in the game.
Yeah, I don't know how to say it in French exactly. It's not Blaise, right? Like Johnny Blaise. I don't think
it should be Blaise Matuidi.
I think it's like Blaise or something like that. Anyway, dope dude. Obviously, you saw him at the
World
Cup.
When I hear Blaise Matuidi, I want to hear like thunder and lightning after just crying.
But no, he is going to Inter Miami. He has signed with his former teammate, David Beckham, while they were at PSG. Mm-hmm. But no, Blaise Matuidi at Inter Miami is a big move. Some people are a little baffled by it, because the midfield in Inter Miami probably not perfect, right? We have Will Trapp, Victor Ulloa, Lee Wynn.
Lee Wynn. I mean, these are big names. I don't know how they can't get the bluff over.
I mean, look, it's Miami. It's a new team, right? They have a lot of trouble scoring. But Blake Matuidi is not really known as like a – he's not a scorer, right? He's like a great midfielder, a great defender.
Somewhat box-to-box. He's not exactly – he's not a creative – he's not. But then again, I mean, maybe it's different. Like you see Victor Wanyama. Have you seen him? He's a cousin of
It's like the way Germans say the V as a W. I get it. It's fine.
It's like when you were a kid and you would miss a shot and be like, I learned that from Patrick Brewing.
Okay. Up. Yeah. No, he runs a great microbrewery. It's pretty awesome.
He's terrible at basketball. Victor Wanyama, he's playing a lot more forward than he did at Tottenham in Montreal. It's like, hi, homie, you here? You're the most creative guy now. Hi, fam.
Yo, I'm looking at that paycheck, and yo, you look mighty creative, I'll be honest.
I see how much you get paid, and my dude, you need to be doing more. You need to walk up here a little bit. But I think the same thing is going to happen to Blaise Matuidi. But also, it's great to have a team that's brand new, and now you got a guy that's like, all right, everybody chill. This is how you play in Champions League. And, when I played with Beckham and Zlatan, everyone's going to be like, oh, what's he saying? You know what I mean? He's going to help settle things down.
Yeah. He's a leader. And to get won the last World Cup, that's pretty good to have a guy like that on your team.
For sure.
So I think, it's not going to go badly, but as far as like – you know, I would argue that if fans were, going to games and you would ask the question, like, is this guy going to sell tickets? Well, there are no tickets to sell. So just play soccer very well.
I hope he doesn't put asses in the seats because you shouldn't be out there. Well, they tried to get Willian and he went to Arsenal instead.
Yeah.
Christian, I'm not sure if you've seen this. And again, you know, probably when people are listening, things have changed. But as of right now, it looks like the Jadon Sancho deal is off with Manchester United. Michael Zorc, who is the sporting director?
Sporting director for Borussia Dortmund.
BVB. He says there's just no way he's in our plans right now. He plans on playing here next year. The one thing that's super interesting is last year he secretly signed a contract extension to 2023, which is some TV novela stuff happening. What do you mean he secretly signed? Oh, you didn't know that was your sister, Pepe. You know what I mean? Like, what are we doing secretly? How is this stuff just not made available? And I think Manchester United were caught by surprise with that. They didn't realize that. So there's so much happening.
Like an affair with your sister, you know?
Which one? No. That's Maria. It's part of the part that's frustrating is if you go back, remember Ousmane Dembele, who was sold to Barcelona when this same thing was happening. So Borussia Dortmund wants a certain amount of money. Manchester United is saying, no, we're going to hold firm at whatever it is, right around 100 million. Same thing was happening with Dembele. Barcelona is like, nah, you're not going to hold this ransom. And they're like, all right, fine. And he said this, and I want to quote, when asked if there's him going to either Paris Saint-Germain, Barcelona, or Manchester City, they all were sort of being contracted or at least contacting them about Ousmane Dembele. Michael Zorc said, no way. What we've seen is extraordinary, and he's in our plans moving forward, blah, blah, blah. So literally cut and paste what he's saying about Jadon Sancho.
So this is his move. I mean, this is just one of the negotiating tactics. It seemed pretty certain that Sancho was leaving. I don't know where
he was in Manchester.
He was in Manchester. So it seemed like he wanted to go there. And so now I had also seen a quote from Mats Hummels, the center back for Borussia Dortmund, that said that he had spoken to Jadon Sancho and Jadon said that he wasn't going to force a move to Manchester United and that he was going to stay with the club at least another year. So it feels like a much bigger loss for Manchester United, right?
I think that the what you're saying is true. I think the most important part of all this is that Manchester United is no longer a club that essentially handpicks their players. There was a time when they said, we want you to play for us. And everyone was like, oh, yeah, I want to play for you. I'm glad you asked. Now, an English kid is saying, whatever, you know, I think I might stay in Germany one more year.
It's real nice what you got going over there. But, like, you know, kind of things are all right for me right now. And
I mean, I'm not saying you ain't cute. You cute, but, like, I'm good. You know what I mean?
That's all. It's just like, I'm just like, have all these options. And it's just really difficult to pick you right now. That's all.
They went from The Bachelor to being one of the contestants on The Bachelor. No, I hand you a rose. I'm Jaden. That's how it works. So right now, Dortmund made out on the last date. So I don't think I want to, you know?
So as far as the approach of what they need, you know, for just to get signings, just to get players. Like, I don't know what Manchester United is going to do, because Manchester United fans are furious.
And they're back in Champions League. They're like, what are you talking about? We're in the big game.
It's just so surreal. So I hope that they get, you know, work something out. I would honestly, and just as like a neutral, I would love to see Jadon Sancho in the Premier League. I would love to see him at Manchester United. I think he could add a lot of excitement to that team. And
whatever makes it easier for Arsenal to get in Champions League, that's what I want. So stay home in Dortmund, baby.
All right. So we'll be back with Travis Helwig of Crooked Media right after this.
Hey everybody, thanks so much for listening to the podcast. We want to bring with a word from one of our sponsors, us and you.
That's right, you being Gully Squad. Thank you
right now, listening.
you've contributed to this marketing campaign.
That's right, thank you so much. And if you're listening and you're not in Gully Squad, I'm not going to say it's not thanks to you. I think you already know that. But you can. This can be thanks to you. All you got to do is join Gully Squad. It's mad simple, you know what I mean? Because what happens is you join Gully Squad, and guess what happens? We show up at your house, we say, we don't care about the quarantine, you know what I mean? We show up at your house and we say, yo, thank you, and then that's it, we leave. It's very odd.
we break lockdown rules. That's how committed to you we are.
Right? where you live in Europe? Be there in a few hours, my guy.
Okay, yo, Boris, open up the borders.
Yo, Latvia, all right. I might have to use points, but we're gonna get there.
Okay, we're un-Brexiting right now.
We've decided. We're here. What's good? Is this Europe or not? Yeah.
So, yes, join Gully Squad. Obviously, there's a lot of awesome perks and privileges. Obviously, we have
the hesitation you put on perks, man. Even I was like, ooh, what do we got?
You can obviously the our Slack channel, our birthday parties, dope Zoom hangouts. It has it all. So
yeah, and pins and pop sockets and, you know, cool stuff. It's just one of those things. Like, yo, you're supporting us. It doesn't matter the level. You're gonna get some dope perks. You're gonna get a chance at exclusive content. You're gonna get a chance to hang out, chat with us. And yo, like the Slack channel, it's almost like just a big group chat. There's like people sharing food to do on the road once we get back on the road, people sharing pictures of the food they're cooking while they're on quarantine, people sharing pictures of pizza and I'm roasting it. We do other stuff than food, don't we, Christian?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, look, there's people sharing music that they enjoy. It's its own community of soccer fans that appreciate comedy and appreciate other things in life that they can share with each other, and it's really growing into something that's organic, that is not really about Christian and Alexis, and it's beautiful to see. So
I know it's bothering me. It should constantly be about us, but also they get a chance to be a part of the show. When we have guests, we ask them, what questions should we ask? When we say those are Gully Squad questions, yo, those are questions directly from that Slack channel, from Gully Squad. So if you're a member of the Gully Squad and you're not in the Slack channel, get on that. What are you doing? There's not a lot of you. There's like a few of you that
There's a few. There's almost like, I think maybe 30 or 40 people that are not in the Slack channel.
What a handful of people. Come on, get in here.
Get in there. So yeah, again, go to soccercooligans.com, click on the Join Gully Squad button, and get on board, man, because you're missing out.
Hell yeah. Soccercooligans.com/Gully Squad. All right, baby, we're back on the Cooligans Living Room FC, and this is dope, right? We always talk about, we're comedians, right? We want to bring in the comedy world into soccer. And every once in a while, we happen to fall upon someone who's doing that already. And we're like, come talk to our fans on our show, because it makes our job easier if we don't have to be the only ones who are funny. But this dude is absolutely amazing. He was formerly a writer on Adam Ruins Everything, which is a friend of ours, Adam Conover. Mm-hmm. And he's currently the head writer of Crooked Media. ladies and gentlemen, a three-time Emmy Award winning. This might be the first Emmy Award winner we've had on our show. It's the first time Emmy's ever been connected to Cooligans ever, because you know it'll never happen. Ladies and gentlemen, unless you're driving, put your hands together for the one, the only, Connecticut's own, Travis Helwig. What's up, Travis?
Hi. So excited to be here amongst people who also do comedy and like soccer.
Yeah. There's not a big group.
Yeah, it's not many of us. you know,
I'm a little nervous because I feel like I'm usually the only person in my friend group that talks about soccer. So I'm like, I've never done this with another person before.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
This is why Christian and I do this.
So look, Travis, we're going to have to find a different reason to bully you. Okay.
I used to rollerblade.
Yeah. Oh, so did Christian. So
I am currently rollerblading. I don't know what he's talking about. Travis, so let's at least start because I had seen you when I was a wee lad of a comedian in New York City, going to Upright Citizens Brigade and watching improv shows and watching sketch shows. You were someone I saw regularly, and so you know it was difficult to find people. You know, connecting on soccer at UCB, I don't think it's even possible. All right, okay, if it's not like Animorphs or something, you're not gonna relate.
There was a dude one day who I saw wearing a Chelsea jacket, and I was like, "You like Chelsea?" And he's like, "No, my girlfriend's name is Chelsea." I'm like, "Get out of here!" I was so mad.
Do you want to be on my Animorph sketch team now?
Let's go. So what is your sort of connection to the sport? I see you're wearing LAFC kit. I follow you on Twitter, and I see whenever I see a comedian also talking about the sport, I'm like,
especially right. MLS, we're yeah. like, whoa.
It's like the scene in Step Brothers. I'm like, oh, did we just become best friends? I'm like, yeah, right there. I'm just talking to your Twitter account. So what is your connection to the sport and when did your fandom begin?
It was the only sport that I was halfway good at growing up. So I liked playing it. I was a goalie for my whole life, but I was short. So I was good for someone who was 5'8". And then at some point that goes away and you can't do it anymore. So I played a lot as a kid. And I told you guys, I grew up in Connecticut, but I always say none of the fancy parts, because you see a blonde kid from Connecticut, you assume he has horses. I grew up right outside of Bridgeport, and we don't have many sports teams, so I loved the national teams, and so that was like my world. But I tried to go to like Metro Stars games, but that's kind of far, and the Revolution are far, so it just kind of faded from my memory. I became a basketball fan, and then when I moved to LA a few years ago. It was right when LAFC was taking off. I'd seen like Portland and Seattle and their like environments, and that was very intoxicating. And so when LAFC came along, I got season tickets and I joined up, and now I've gone to every game that I've been able to when I don't have work.
You recently tweeted something like, it's LAFC or I'll fucking kill you or something like that. I don't even think there was a game happening. It was just a random. But when you think about, because Christian and I had a similar decision, but not necessarily when NYCFC started, it's kind of difficult to go to Red Bull games when you live in New York. I get it. Fans don't hate me, but it's not easy. It's even harder to convince someone to do that. But when it's the same swipe right up the 4 train or the 6 train and you're right there, it's so much easier. Christian and I decided we're going to get tickets and it's really inexpensive. It was sort of one of those moments where it's like, oh, cool. I get to connect with the sport at a deeper level. Has LAFC done that for you? Plus, they've had a pretty good run so far.
Oh, for sure. I mean, like, I don't think it was called USL then, but there was like a minor league soccer team in Connecticut called the Connecticut Wolves for a bit. And I would go to those games, but I never really saw soccer live. And so going to LAFC games is kind of my first, at least as an adult, sports soccer experience. And it was 10 minutes away from my house. And Carson, you know, I is far. It's 40 minutes outside of the city. And I know that like they give them a lot of shit for not being in LA. It's not in LA.
It's LA County.
Right. But that's like, I lived like 10 minutes from Dodger Stadium. Staples Center was 10 minutes from me. The Coliseum is right next to the LAFC Stadium. So I could get there in 5 minutes if I wanted to. And so it felt like it was built inside the city. And that was something that was really nice when it started. And then also, like, LA fans are not known for their passion. I would say we're known for being bad fans in general. Like, at Dodgers games, we show up late and leave early. And to go to an LAFC game and see it's one of the few places in Los Angeles, which is a very disparate, disconnected city, where you feel like connected to the city in a real way. And you feel connected to people that, you know, we're in our cars all the time. We're not shoulder to shoulder. We're not jumping up and down next to each other. And it's exciting to feel that part of a community in Los Angeles where I didn't necessarily ever feel that before.
Yeah. And as far as the just the LAFC in general have been just so wildly entertaining. I mean, that has been the, you know, I don't know. I'm sure there's a deep connection between what the fan base does and how the players actually play on the pitch. But what has been your impression of just seeing the roster built up? And even though they're, you know, Bob Bradley will make a couple changes, but the team is still so wildly entertaining. Even, you know, Vela didn't play in the MLS's back tournament, but BWP clearly stepped up.
Yeah. I mean, I've never liked a team that's good before in any sport. I've been a Knicks fan.
You're talking to two Knicks fans. There it is.
Yeah.
I know it.
I've been a Knicks fan. I grew up a Jets fan, but I don't really follow football anymore. So it's just been like a life of sadness. To see a team be good, it feels so special because I know what losing feels like so consistently. And I'm already assuming the worst. Like, I am one of those people. LA sports fans are very spoiled. The Lakers are always good. The Dodgers are almost always good. And they don't know what it's like to suffer. I'm the type of person who's like posting on Reddit. I knew we were going to lose to Orlando City. I fucking knew it. Because we're the type of team that, like, and Bob Bradley's the type of guy who gears up for like narrative games. So it's like, we got to beat the Galaxy in the playoffs. We got to come back and beat Lyon in the Champions League. We have to beat Seattle in the MLS's back tournament because they beat us in the playoffs. So we're going to work really hard to beat Seattle, and then we're going to lose to Orlando City because they're bad and we don't think about it.
Let me explain Bob Bradley to you, though, all right? Because I'm from Newark. He's from Jersey. We only do good with vendettas, okay? We don't wake up unless you wronged us somehow. So the next time you play Orlando, you're going to win 7-0.
For sure.
You got to know that.
And then we're going to lose to, like, Austin in the championship.
But then next time, you know?
Yeah. 2023 is going to be – we out. For you. And we should talk a little bit about your current job, right? You obviously were working with Adam Conover on Adam Ruins Everything. And I know the jobs like that, you know, like, I've submitted packets for stuff. I think I even might have submitted one to
Adam Ruins
Everything. Yeah.
That packet was like a research paper. You needed like sources. I was like, get the hell out of here. I literally said to my agent, I go, don't you ever send me. I know Adam, good friend. I don't ever want to see this again.
Yeah, you know, I've submitted to, like, you know, Daily Show, Last Week Tonight, all these. And you're working with PodTape America now, right? So that is just such a popular podcast, right? I mean, when it comes to the day-to-day grind and seriousness, especially of this news cycle the last couple years, I'm just curious, how much of an escape is LAFC and soccer for you to all that kind of, you know, nonsense?
I would say that I have no joy in my life outside of Los Angeles Football Club. And when they lose, I don't speak to anyone for hours at a time. I went to the Seattle game we lost in the playoffs with Adam Conover, because he's been like trying to get into it with me.
Yeah, and he's been texting me a lot during soccer games, which has been a shock. I'm like, you like soccer? Let's go.
I think he's the type of guy who was like, I am making a decision to like sports. And I now like sports. And I will talk to you about sports. And now he does. He watches every LAFC game and he texts me about it. But we were leaving the stadium and I talked to him about this and he has no memory. But I was furious, and he was making all these jokes about how it was fine, and I had to be like, Adam, I don't need to hear from you right now. But to
this
answer
is
your
not
question,
the time.
This isn't something for you to ruin.
To answer your question, it's very cathartic. It's nice to build a community. And honestly, it's nice to be, the MLS is, feels like a very progressive league for the most part, and to see fans stand up against the MLS when they ban things like the Antifa stuff in Portland and Seattle, and then to see more signage happening, and then to see people stand up against the NYCFC, white nationalist guys, is very cool. So it's cool to be a fan of a sport that I don't feel as if, I don't feel guilty for liking it, at least in America.
Yeah, that is kind of, we've talked about that a lot on the show, that where there is, you know, and frankly, a lot of the people who are protesting, like in Portland and in all these different cities, are soccer fans. A lot of the things are organized by people who are also soccer fans. And it feels like such a, like, especially not even necessarily for me about like not feeling guilty, but there is a, like, man, these are, they feel like my people. You know what I mean? Like, as far as like the what I hope the future to look like, it feels like soccer fans will be a part of it.
Yeah, but now that you said that, because Travis is on the show, so some Trump administration operative is listening to this, heard you say soccer fans are the ones reporting. So now the Portland Timbers are going to get shut down. Timbers Army is all going to be listed as a terrorist organization.
You're not allowed to bring a chainsaw into the Portland Stadium.
They're going to have to saw the, like, just like the, like the, use like fishing line back and forth to try to cut that log. When you look at your career, right? And, you know, a lot of comedians also are very progressive, right? And it's especially in the improv scene and the sketch scene. And then you get into something like working for Crooked Media. It heavily leans left, right? It's one of those voices. You got the writers from the Obama administration in there, and you guys are sort of, you know, championing this left, which just seems to be getting beat up on a daily basis, whether it's on, you know, Fox News and all these other things. Certainly there's not a lot. I mean, there's not a lot of time for you to be like, I wonder what we're going to talk about. There's always something for you to talk about. When you look at soccer, compare the two, like, who is Biden, is who in soccer? You know what I mean?
Okay. I don't know real soccer as well as I know MLS.
So we can talk just MLS. That's fine.
Okay. Yeah. MLS is very much real soccer. All right.
Yeah. That's so I would say Biden is,
Orlando?
No, Orlando's like Pete Buttigieg. It's like, he's like somehow wormed his way in there. We don't know what happened.
There's a popular dance associate.
I learned that dance. Oh, I love all Democrats equally. That's the party line that I will say. let me think, because Biden's like been around for a while. You don't have negative feelings about him, but you don't have positive feelings about him. I would say he's maybe the Colorado Rapids. You have no negative feelings towards them, but you're just sort of like, yeah, they're around. I'll vote for the Colorado Rapids.
You don't hate
Rapids.
Them.
Yeah.
They don't have a rival. You don't hate them.
No,
you don't love
I like
them
Denver. Denver's nice.
As far as the actual kind of political side, maybe we can real quick talk about it, what has been the most, I guess, I don't know what surprises. I don't know what surprises me anymore, right? Because it's all such a mess. But working in it and working in that you know, category of media, what are some of the things in just these last like month, you know, the couple months during quarantine that have actually shocked you of where either the election cycle is going or where the country seems to be going?
I mean, I like to think of myself as a realist, but when Trump was elected, I knew it was going to be bad. I didn't know it was going to be $5 mask on every corner bad. Like, yeah, I didn't know it was like, you know, you can't go into the grocery store with more than two other people bad. So, like, I think genuinely, I didn't realize how, minute to minute he was. Like, all he had to do was establish a national testing strategy, some sort of COVID strategy during quarantine. And we would have been like, I think people would have felt positively towards him in some way. But the fact that he can't do anything to help us with the coronavirus response is pretty surprising to me still, even though he separated families, even though he, you know, makes up lies about immigrants all the time. Just the fact that, like, he can't see it's a good political strategy to save people's lives is wild. Like, all he had to do to have a better reelection would be tell people to wear masks and have a testing strategy. And he hasn't done that, and he's down in the polls because of it. And, you know, I don't want to get ahead of myself because we know what it's like to lose elections that we're ahead in. What are we, LAFC? I just didn't think it would be as truly catastrophic when an emergency happened as it has been in these last few months. And we see what it's like to live in America without real leadership.
How do you decide what to talk about? Because it seems like this is something that Christian and I deal with. Sometimes we'll record an interview like a week in advance and we're almost afraid because it's like the news cycle in soccer, soccer's all over the world. It changes so quickly. It seems like in politics, especially with Trump and that administration, something huge happens every day. How the hell do you guys decide? How do you not just do every show live?
I mean, my day to day is mostly working on John Lovett's show, who is there. He's like a comedian. He wrote 1600 Pen. He was Obama's joke writer. And so I would do Pod Save America on the road when we'd go on the road and I'd produce those shows. But the majority of my writing is comedy writing for John. And so that's a little bit easier because we can figure out what's the funniest to talk. We're not going to do a bunch of jokes about, a school shooting. But we'll find the stuff that we can joke about and talk about it. I will say it's been harder in the last few months because it's such a exhausting couple of months. But I usually look at the stuff that other people aren't talking about. Or look at something that we know that we could have an interesting perspective on. But it is very difficult because he's so relentlessly in the news and I don't want to think about him anymore. And that's why I want to beat him so badly.
Yeah, for sure.
We were talking about the show that you work on regularly, Love It or Leave It. And I was looking at the guest. I mean, there's amazing guests on the show all the time, whether it's politicians, presidential candidates, there's a lot. But you had Megan Rapinoe on your show, and we've talked to Megan Rapinoe as well. We obviously huge fans. But
she's a fan of the show.
Yeah, I'm curious about your sort of take on her as not just an athlete, but as a political figure, where she is very much putting herself in the forefront of when it comes to LGBT issues and just issues about equality. We can talk about her specifically, but then that overlap of like soccer and politics, where we sort of see it with almost all athletes in general. But what can soccer offer to the political world? That we see that, you know, that Megan Rapinoe is already doing.
Yeah, I mean, I think Megan is so cool and inspiring in ways that not many athletes are. To see somebody who is that good and is that talented use her platform so loudly, I think is something that like all people with platforms can strive towards. I mean, like we found out that she was a fan of our shows. And we didn't get it. We're not cool enough to like Megan Rapinoe or for Megan Rapinoe to like us. And so it was very exciting to have her on. And I'm also a fan of her wife because of Connecticut, women's basketball, she is I think on par with someone like LeBron James, where it's just like, you are the best who has played the game potentially ever. And you are speaking truth to power that loudly with that big of a platform. It's so exciting when you see it. And it's not easy to do. You lose endorsements, you lose fans. And I think women's soccer and the U.S. Women's team have really kind of led the way, especially with things like pay equality and kind of forced U.S. soccer's hands in a lot of situations where they were being cowards about it. And I think, you know, progressives tend to like soccer, at least in the United States. And it goes a long way to have someone like Megan Rapinoe shout that loudly or to kneel during the national anthem and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I think it can only almost come, and I think it's doubled over because the media is what it is. It's like a double amount of shock that a woman is saying it, right?
Yeah.
We're clearly not shocked because we know her. But like, I think people got shocked. It's more powerful for Megan Rapinoe to say, I'm not fucking going to the White House. Then if LeBron said it, people would be like, of course he does it because he hates Trump. For a woman to say that while tying her shoe, like nonchalantly, just casually say, I'm not going to fucking White House. That's like when my wife goes, I'm going to work out. Do you want to go work out? I'm not going to fucking work out. the same energy. It's like, why would you even ask me that?
Wow, yeah. So brave, Alexis. So brave.
Right? I mean, we all have to make our own stances in this world. And it's about time that we talk about fat equality.
Whenever my wife is doing squats, I take a knee just to make sure.
Yeah, yeah, just so she knows where what your position is. Okay? This isn't a workout, honey. Okay,
I'm protesting.
This isn't a single leg squat. This is.
Thank you so much for being a champion.
just to clarify, I'm pretty sure Megan Rapinoe is not married. She's not married to Super. They're just dating. So no pressure on anybody to propose.
They should get married. They should get married. That would be cool.
Megan's like, I wish someone would get on a knee, if you know what I'm saying. I'm trying to get a ring up in this joint other than the World Cup joints that I got.
Do you think Megan Rapinoe would ever, because I listened to her on Pod Save America, and I'm like, she could run for a very high position in office someday. Do you think that's plausible?
I mean, Donald Trump's president, so a lot dumber people can win the office. Like, she is so smart and so cool and so likable, it would make sense that she... I mean, the only reason to not go into politics is it'll make her less cool. Someone runs for office, they're less cool. So it's... I don't know. Why not? She would be great. I bet she would win.
We look at where we are, that the presidency is like, why would you want to do that? Why would you do that to yourself? You're so fun. Don't become president. That's a step down from being an overall badass and champion, Megan. when you look at like the slew of shows that you guys have, and soccer is one of those few sports that has like a very strong political lean across the board, right? There's some clubs that are specifically like pro-fascist in Italy, right? Or in certain countries. And there's some that are like wildly to the left. Like, when you look at that and you look at sort of the way government is, or at least politics is polarized America so much, like, it almost feels like soccer is like a microcosm of the world itself, right? When you look at sort of wanting to get away from politics and going into soccer and using it as reprieve, is it though? Because there's still so much political attached to it.
Yeah, it's the type of thing like when you guys are stand-ups, when people are like, stick to jokes, like just go tell, or like shut up and dribble, that sort of thing. Where the world is political and humans are political, and what you buy and what you eat, it's all political. So like, it would make sense that soccer and sports in general, as we've seen in the last few months, become incredibly political. So I guess it's not really a reprieve. And I think it's almost good that it's not a reprieve, because you don't want fascists to have a reprieve from their fascism. You want to be able to say, hey, you're being a fascist. Stop doing that, please.
Let's
give these ego guys a break, you know? Maybe a vacation.
That kind of politics.
It's so hard to lock up children in cages all day.
I mean, if we feel bad about it, I'm sure it feels bad to do it, right? So they gotta get a break.
I like that overall, because there is that complaint, especially you hear it, you know, when like somebody on SportsCenter says anything mildly liberal, it's like, this is not why I tune into sports. But it's like, there's no, you know, I always say, like, it is people who say like, I don't want this in my sport. You're telling like a black person, they don't get to say that. They don't get to be, I don't want this in my whatever, because they are always living that existence. So it is very much a privilege to be like, I want this, but with none of the guilt attached.
or like people were saying, getting rid of the Confederate flag at NASCAR events is like, keep politics out of it. Motherfucker, putting a Confederate flag up is politics. Getting rid of it is just a different type of politics than you agree with. You can't say that change is political and status quo is not political. Status quo is political. It's just what you're comfortable with. And I'm sorry that you feel a little uncomfortable that you can't show your flag about slavery, but it's stupid that you want to put that up, and I hate you for doing it.
Right. Well, as Knicks fans, I think we could all agree, if you ask me to take it down because it reminds you of losing, I'd be like, no, you're right. We should take it down.
Thank you so much for tuning in, everybody. Thank you to Travis Helwig, the pride of Connecticut.
Hartford Athletics' very own,
Fortress Hartford, baby, Fortress Hartford.
Look at that. That wasn't even planned. That was a complete coincidence. So Hartford Athletic,
that's crazy.
Best of luck in USL. Travis, is there anything you want to let people know about that they should check out before we sign off?
You can follow me on all the things. Just look at my name, listen to Love It or Leave It on Crooked Media. And if you want to help out with the election, but you live in a state that doesn't matter, go to votesaveamerica.com/adopt and you can adopt one of six swing states. We'll tell you what to do every single week to help win those swing states. And it's very helpful. I feel like you're doing something when everything feels terrible.
Okay. Very good. We need it. We need it.
Yes, we do.
Everybody join in and support. And yes, very much vote and get us out of this nightmare, please. Travis, thank you again. Everybody, make sure you follow Fubo Sports at Fubo Sports on all social media channels. Follow at Soccer Cooligans and make sure to subscribe to the Fubo Sports YouTube channel if you'd like to see full episodes of the program, of our show and other shows. So make sure you do that. So with that said, let us end the show the way we normally do. So for Travis Helwig, my name is Christian Polanco.
Oh, I'm Alexis Guerreros.
And together, what are we?
The Cooligans!